First time I ever heard that song was Tuesday of this week. Ever. And I asked Cassie if she would sing it, and it's a little bit out of your range, but that's all right. You did a good job with it. Here's why I want to sing it. Brother Matt asked me to fill in today. I'm sorry. I'm a little emotional. Yet not I, but Christ in me. If that doesn't stir something inside of you, whew, I'm glad you're here. If you will, take your copy of God's Word, whether that is a printed physical Bible or if it's an electronic version, whatever it is that you have, and turn to this passage that you see right there. And y'all know it. You could probably quote it in about 5 different versions of Scripture. You know every word of it. But I'd ask you to turn. My dad does something I think is a little corny, but it's also true. I like to take God's Word, and I like to hold it up, and I like to shake it a little bit. You know why? Satan hates it. And I love to rub it in his face. Just take that, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. If you will, let's read this. We'll get that tweaked out here in a second. Look along with me. Psalm chapter 100. Says this, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God, is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Before we go any further, let's pray. Lord, I want to stop and just thank you for the day. I thank you for the privilege that it is, Lord, to be able to sing praise unto your name. You don't need us to praise you, but you allow us the privilege of doing so. I thank you for this opportunity to come in this place, Lord, and just share what you've put on my heart. The things that you've been working inside of me, Lord, that I can share with this congregation, and that today maybe someone's in the same place that I've been, Lord, and they need to be encouraged. I pray that you would encourage them through your word, Lord, not through what I say. As a matter of fact, get me out of the way. May you be seen, and everything is said and done. We'll be careful to give you the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Brother Matt asked me to fill in for him. I don't remember what day it was. It was sometime late last week, early this week. And Ms. Rufus, she said, don't say this. I'm not going to say it. Everybody has their giftedness. Everything the Lord gifts you with certain gifts, certain abilities. And Brother Matt is a phenomenal orator. The Lord has given him that gift to be able to deliver a sermon. That ain't mine. is that a good way to put that? Mine is to lead worship and to lead others in doing so. But here's the thing. God also has given me an opportunity to be able to share with you my heart on worship. So that's what I want to take the opportunity today to do. I sometimes feel like Moses. Until the third grade of elementary school, I was in a speech impediment program. They were teaching me how to not stutter. Most people don't know that. And if you listen to me very carefully, you'll notice that I take a lot of pauses and I enunciate very well because I felt like Moses. And Lord, I'm not eloquent of speech, but yet not I, but Christ in me. So, a few things my teachers taught me. Yes, I went to a little university called Maplesville. It was a huge school. Graduated with 37. I'm pretty sure I know all of their middle names to this day. Not a very big school, but one of my things my teachers taught me at Maplesville was this. When you go to research something, when you go to look up something, you need to find out the 5 W's. And anybody knows what those are? Who, what, when, where, why, to what extent, how. There's some other things you can add to it now, but you know the basics are who, what, when, where, and why, right? So when I started studying this passage this week, and the Lord, okay, what would you have me to deliver to your people? Not my pulpit, Brother Matt's pulpit. And you want me to speak to your people, Lord, you speak through me. Get me out of the way. Help my speech to be eloquent enough that your message comes across clearly. Is that fair? I can answer 3 of those 5 quickly. Who? Look at verse 1. Shout joyfully to the... You can say his name. It's not going to. He will not strike you down in this place of saying his name. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Okay, serve the... Know that the... Enter his gates. That's the Lord, okay? For the Lord is good. Okay, so we can solve that one pretty quick, right? This is all for him. This is not just, now, in this specific context, yes, this is Yahweh, Jehovah. This is God, okay? But this is also, if you fast forward a little bit to where Jesus was speaking, he said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So this is also Jesus. So we just sang a song a little bit ago, said glorify Father, Jesus, and Spirit. So this is the Godhead, 3-in-1. When we are worshiping, when we are praising, if you look back at the very beginning of the title of this, Psalm 100, it says, a psalm for thanksgiving. We need to know who we're giving thanks to, and that is the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is who we are praising. When? I can answer that one pretty quick. It's not written in here specifically, but if you go back to Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth or on my lips, ever be on my lips, all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Last week, Michael and Candace, y'all sang a song that we said was a prayer, right? Worship and prayer, not very dissimilar. Just, you're singing one, right? You're singing prayers to God. You're having this dialogue between you and God. You're speaking to him and praising him. He's speaking back into your life. And this dialogue between us and God should happen all the time because God is good. And all the time, we saw that one, right? When? Who? We know who. It's God. When? All the time. Where? Verse 1. All the earth, right? Ain't got to go very far to solve that one. And if you really look, oh my goodness, if you look at Psalm 93 through 99, if you really go and read those, it talks about the heights and the depths and the seas and all, everywhere, right? All the time. Everywhere. Now, I'm going to look at these verses in reverse order for the rest of this time. Because I am a person, I'm a logical, analytical mind. That's what I am. Give you a little background of who I am. Yes, I went to a little podunk school called Maplesville. Sorry, Maplesville fans. I went to a small place called Maplesville, but they trained me to think analytically, and I went to Auburn University on a scholarship to get a degree in biological systems engineering, forestry and civil engineering combined. Love math and science. Don't like history at all. But when I started studying why, the first thing that I want to know when I'm looking at any passage, the first thing I want to know is why. So the topic, if you look at the topic of this passage, it says it's the jubilat. It's to give joyful praise, to give thanks to God. The title literally says on mine, a psalm for thanksgiving, a hymn for thanksgiving. So giving thanks, why? That's my first question I always ask, why? I already answered 3 of them for you, but my brain goes to why. And so I started looking at why. Look at verse 5, and it says why. For the Lord is good, and I'm not. I look back at the bulletin from March 8th. That was the first Sunday that I was here to do the call, if you will, the day that y'all voted, and we ate, and then we canceled the rest of the world right after that. But sorry, I brought the plague upon us all. But, March 8th, I look back at Brother Matt's sermon. It was Psalm 107. It says this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. He preached from Psalm 107 that first Sunday. I didn't realize that until this morning when I opened this Bible, and it was the bulletin in the back of this cover right here. The Lord is good, and I'm not. I'm the worst sinner I know. Some of y'all just gave me a funny look. Would say, what? I am. I know my sins. God knows them better than I do, but I know my sins. I don't know yours. But God does. The Lord is good. He is holy. He is separate. He cannot even look upon sin. The only thing that's good about me, and I'm so thankful for this, the only thing good about me is Jesus. And God can look past my sin because, well, I'm covered behind Jesus. He can't even see my sin because I'm covered behind what Jesus did for me on the cross. God is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. the writer of this psalm, we are not real sure, and you can read 10 commentaries on who wrote this, and you'll get about 15 opinions on who actually wrote this hymn of praise, this hymn of thanksgiving. Most people will definitely say that the man David had a hand in either writing and or compiling this group of hymns, okay? So David had a hand in this. So let's, me, why? Why do I praise God? Why do I give thanks? Let me rewind a little bit. Who is David? Yes, he was a warrior that God used for his glory by defeating Goliath. God appointed him to be the ruler, to be the king over his people. Yes, God did all those things for David, but David was like me. He's an idiot. Just be honest with you. Sorry. I know me. I'm the worst sinner that I know. He didn't make the best decisions, right? David was an adulterer. He was a liar. He was a murderer. And then later it says that he's a man after God's own heart. If I could just have a little taste of what it's like to be a man after God's own heart, I'm trying to pursue that. Because I know where I was, and I know where God's brought me to. I know where I've been, the miry clay. That's somewhere around here, isn't it? What's that, Psalm 99? You know, he delivered me out of the miry clay, set my feet on the rock, and now I am safe and secure in what Jesus has done for me. God is good, but David was not. But from the lineage of David, if you fast forward about 1,000 years, who comes from the lineage of David? Jesus, the only perfect person, deserved man. Why do I give thanks? Why do I worship? Because God is good, and I'm not. And I need to bring praise to him and give him thanks with every breath that I have. With every breath. Didn't we just sing that? With every breath that I have, I will bring him praise. I love the rest of this. It's loving kindness, and it's everlasting, it's faithfulness to all generations. If you look back in Psalm 23, 77 chapters ago, you'll see that verse 6 says, surely goodness, God, and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even though I am not good and I will never earn it, I will never deserve it, I am made righteous in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's all the goodness I ever need. So why do I praise? There you go. Do we sum it up again? Because of Jesus. There we go. I'll sum it up. I also love this. His faithfulness is everlasting to all generations. All generations. Deuteronomy 7 and 9, we read this a few weeks ago. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Didn't we sing that? Candace, I don't see Brittany here, but Corey, y'all sang that a few weeks ago. When I was at home sitting with my family, they were singing a song that says, and his favor will be upon you to 1,000 generations. It also pulled from Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. That good, faithful, loving God. Why do I give praise? Because of him. And he also says that if I will do it, he'll pass it down to the generations below me. If I will seek him, the generations below me will get God's favor because of me pursuing his heart. Most of y'all know we have 2 adopted children. I love them. My children. All right. Don't you ever try to touch them. If you know the Ropers from South Chilton County, that blood runs through my veins. Don't try to hurt my children. All right? I ain't afraid to go to jail. Paul and Silas did it, and they rocked those walls off. We'll do that too. The generations of those who seek God, those who seek after God, give thanks to God because he is good. His loving kindness extends to the generations below them. I want my children to love God. Do you? Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old and won't depart from it, that is not always looked to be the case. But I can promise you, for those who love God and live according to his word, God never fails us. He always has a hand. His hand can reach down to the lowest pit And I tell you one thing, at this time in my life, my dad probably says I was in the lowest pit. But God, being rich in mercy, the love that he loves us. So yes, another reason why I give thanks to God. Look at verse 4. Look back up real quick. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Solomon hadn't built this elaborate temple yet, but they still had a temple, right? And it had gates. You had to go in these gates, you had to go in his courts, you had to go into the other thing, and then the Holy of Holies, and only one person go there one time a year, and if they didn't, the scapegoat. You've read Old Testament, you know all these things, right? Enter his gates. Not everybody got to go inside the gates. Not everybody got to go inside the courts. Not everybody did these things, okay? God allows us the privilege of going into the gates and the courts. And even if you look at verse number 2, some translations say, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, come before him, come into the Holy of Holies. When Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross, do y'all remember what happened to the temple veil? Split from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. Heaven came to earth on my behalf. I had the privilege. Why do I give thanks? Because I had the privilege to go before a holy God. I get to go inside the gates. I get to go inside the courts. I get to go before the Holy of Holies, and where the angels surround the throne day and night, their entire job, the only thing that they do is say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. I get to join with them in praising God. And I give thanks. That's why. Now let's look at what, and kind of how, if you will. We already covered who, when, where, and why. Let's look at what and how a little bit. Look at verse 3. It says, know that the Lord himself is God. This is the closest English translation is to acknowledge. It's an action. It's not just to know, have, you know, this knowledge in your brain, but to acknowledge, to actually say the Lord, he is God. A lot of people like to use this in their lives. I share Jesus just by the life that I live. That's not necessarily wrong, but it's wrong. All right, can I explain that? You should live your life in a way that pleases God, but you should also express him with your lips. You should acknowledge that he is your Lord. The things that come out of your mouth should be praising, thanksgiving to him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... How can people hear unless we speak it? Well, my life is the only Bible some people ever read. I understand what you're saying. But the only way they can hear is by us speaking truth and life and love into them. We have to acknowledge that the Lord is God. That's one of the ways of how we accomplish this. Well, you know what? It's also an action in our own lives. One way that we give thanks to God is that we tell people publicly, right? What is this up here? Behind the choir loft, what is that called? Baptistry, right? What happens in there? Baptism, okay? This is a Baptist church. It's a baptistry, and there's baptism. So when people come to faith in Jesus Christ, he says that to follow him in the outward showing of the inward change through a thing called baptism, getting rid of the old life and being raised in a new life. So the reason we have baptistries in our Baptist churches is for people to publicly be able to announce, I have changed. I am a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus. I acknowledge that the Lord himself is God and Lord of my life. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement in the Baptist church? It is he who made us, not we ourselves. Some translations are going to say we are his instead of the not we ourselves, right? Who made us again? It wasn't my parents. William and Cindy, I love William and Cindy to death, all right? I would do anything in the world for William and Cindy. If they watch this later, I love y'all. I'll do anything for you, okay? But William and Cindy are not the ones who created me. When you were in your mother's womb, I knit you together. Y'all read that? Who's the one that did the knitting? Why do I give? How's the way that I give thanks? God, thank you. Thank you for the way that you created me. I have a tendency to want to look in the mirror, and we were talking about this earlier, Miss Danita. Some of y'all have compared me to Cousin Eddie. Who do you remind me of? Oh, it's that guy off of the Christmas Vacation, the Cousin Eddie and Randy Quaid. I understand that. And some of y'all won't see me ever the same again. That's fine. But here's the thing. This God created. And if I look just like Cousin Eddie for the rest of my life, you know what? God created him too. I hope he comes to know Jesus, because the actions of his life, I don't know that he does. I'm praying for him. Because if he's my doppelganger, I might as well pray for him, right? It's he who made us, not we ourselves. I didn't create this. I'm not the one who gave me a sweating problem and a stuttering problem and the robustness of my... I'm not the one who created this. Now, some of these things are my own doing, just from indulgence, let's be honest. But the way that he created us, he did, not we ourselves. So how do I bring praise to him with everything that you gave me, from top to bottom and everything in between? I want to make sure that I bring you praise. Do we do that? Also, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. What's that remind you of? Go back a few chapters before again, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need, or I shall not go wanting. I will not want for anything. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's a good old song, right? I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup is overflowed. You remember that one? Whew. The things that God has poured into my life, the way that he's knitted me together, the way that he's created me, the way he's created you and knit you together, the things that he's instilled in your heart and your life are different than the things that's in my heart and my life. I praise God all the time for somebody like Miss Kathy who can play the organ, because I can't do that. For Brother Matt who can preach, because that's not specifically my calling, all right? Is that a good way to word that? It's not specifically my calling, all right? So for somebody like Brian who can take that soundboard up there and just make that thing dance, brother, I just can't do it. So everybody is knit together. God puts a church together to bring him glory. And we are his people. He formed us, and we are to give thanks to him and bring praise to him with the way that we live, with everything he gave us. Good stuff. Romans 12:1 says this. We can go to verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Romans 12:1 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, your spiritual act of worship. Why do I give thanks? Because the command of verse 2, not suggestion, not something, well, you can if you want to. The command of verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Romans 12:1 tells me that is my spiritual service, is to present everything that he's given to me. He is the creator. He's the one who formed me in my mother's womb. He's the one who knit me together, not me, him. I'm his sheep. He is the shepherd. I should live my life in a way to serve him. Now, I'm going to get to the last two parts. It is 11:12. Don't look at your watch. I can tell you because I looked at the TV picture, all right? It's 11:12. I've got two more points. With joyful singing. Y'all see that? Come before him with joyful singing. I will not call anybody out, ever. But I have heard from here and from Liberty Hill and from Valley Creek and from Pates Chapel and from First Baptist of Woodstock, and I could keep going, all right? Everywhere I have ever served, I've heard this. Brother Bill, I don't sing. Come before him with joyful singing. Brother Bill, I don't sing. Come before him with joyful singing. You want me to keep doing that? You get the point now. Sometimes, here's what I see in a congregation on Sunday mornings, okay? There are those, and I'm going to give you my rule of how I want to lead worship. This is the way that I choose to lead worship. There's 20% of the congregation that it doesn't matter what you sing, we're going to wash the windows. We are just praising God. We're washing the windows. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right, we carry the TV. You know, those people who are going to be praising God no matter what. Don't matter what you sing. They are going to be praising God. There's about 20%. Hit me with your best shot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That crowd just has arms crossed. Nope, not today. And there's 60% in the middle. You got 20 on one end, 20 on the other end. There's 60% in the middle. And every single week, I have an eternal responsibility, eternal. I take it very seriously to choose out of the millions of songs, what are the five, Lord, that you would have me to lead your congregation in bringing you praise with this week? Nobody's ever going to be fully happy. Nobody. If I got up here saying, on the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, some of y'all would absolutely love it. Some of you would absolutely hate it. And there's about 60% in the middle be like, what are you talking about? If we got up here saying, I woke up this morning feeling fine, woke up with heaven on my mind, woke up with joy in my soul because I knew my Lord had control. Again, some are going to love it, some are going to hate it, and some in between. If we got up here every single week and every single song that ever came out on the radio on WDJC on Monday morning, we started singing it on Sunday, some of y'all are going to love it. Some of you are going to hate it, and a whole bunch in between. Does that make sense? My job is not to make you want to worship. My job is to present God in such a way so that you will want to give him thanks because of who he already is, what he's already done, what he's going to do. If I try to live my life in a way to please you, you're going to be sorely disappointed, and I'm going to be frustrated. My responsibility as a worship pastor is to teach you how to worship. You know how you worship? God's good. I'm not. He will pass it along to all the generations if I just choose to follow him. If I recognize that he is the one who created me and I live my life in such a way to bring him glory and praise, then I am his sheep. He's the shepherd, and I follow him. And if I serve the Lord with gladness, oh man. Sorry. Lord, direct my words. It frustrates me to no end for someone to come to me and say, Brother Bill, that wasn't my style of song today. That wasn't my preference. I understand that, and I truly do. Can I tell y'all something? The first time I ever sang the song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, my dad came to me, and he pitched a fit. You don't mess with Amazing Grace. How dare you mess with Amazing Grace? We just sang a song called In Christ Alone, and a lot of you know that song, and you sang along with it. We added this little bridge where I told you we were trying to just breathe for a second and think about the great statements of Christ that we just sang about, and some of y'all didn't like it. And you let it be known by your face. I'm thankful right now for the face masks because I don't get to see the... I love to see the smiling faces. I love to see the hands of praise. I love to see the heart of worship. I love to back out of the microphone and y'all lead me in worship. Love it. But to come to me after a service and say, Brother Bill, I just really didn't care for that song. Take it up with God. Because of the millions of songs that the Lord could have allowed me to choose that week, he told me these are the ones. Now, if I'm outside of his will and I'm just choosing songs on my own, that's a different thing. But if I am following God's will and he says, these are the ones, if you don't like it, take it up with God. But you know what you can still do? Even if you don't like the music, don't like the songs, you know what you can do? You can serve the Lord with gladness. You can put a smile on your face, and the 60% that I'm trying to reach, the 20% is going to sing anyways, and the 60% I'm trying to reach anyways, we can come before him with joyful singing. When's the last time this church had somebody just do a holy roller, do a backflip down the aisle? I don't know. But if you did that, if we had a swing right here, I could swing out, woo, praise the Lord, I would do that, okay? Not because I'm trying to be irreverent, but because if the Lord puts it on your heart to praise him in a specific way, do it. David danced. Oh my goodness, it's Baptist Church. Brill, I'm going to stand as the... Wrap up with this last part. First part of this is this. This is what a lot of people say, when a brother, I don't sing. I don't sing very well. I make a joyful noise. Well, it's not really joyful to everybody else. Anybody ever heard that? Show of hands. You ever heard somebody say, well, it's not really joyful to anybody else? Okay. Somebody may have said it, and you didn't want to raise your hand. You're mad at me already. It's fine. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Let me give you a context for a second. 2013. November, number one versus number four. Alabama's got 1 second left on the clock. They kick a field goal. It comes up just a little bit short. Chris Davis grabs the football, and he takes off down the sideline, and he is heading down the sideline, and Rod Bramlett's going crazy. He gets to the end zone. Auburn's going to win a football game. Some of you right now just had a smile go across your face from ear to ear. Woo! Were you quiet during that time? Or did you shout joyfully? Fast forward a few years. I'm an Alabama fan. Tua Tagovailoa gets sacked for a loss of 16 yards. Second down to 26 on the 41-yard line. He rears back. True freshman, Devontae Smith. He goes down the sidelines. He catches it. Bama's going to win the game. The tie will not be denied. Anybody remember that? Did you? Is that what you did? Or did you shout joyfully because you were excited about what just happened with your team? Friday night, football game, whoever you support, okay, whatever team you support. You know what I'm talking about. When you get this elation, you just can't keep it in. You got to shout. Can I tell you something? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the person who gave his life for us, he wants us to praise him and shout joyfully to praise his name. We come in this building and act like our dog got run over on the way over here. I might be happy about that. Our dog eats everything. Why can't we just shout for joy to the Lord? Has it just been too long? I've heard people say, well, Brother Bill, and this is songs, and I'm not talking about preference. I'm really not talking about preference because I'm somewhere in between the two, okay? I grew up on the Heavenly Highway Hymns, if you remember those books, and I'm somewhere in between the contemporary and the traditional movement, so forget preference. Some people will say to me, well, Brother Bill, I just can't sing those 7-11 songs. It says 7 words 11 times. I just can't sing those songs. Have you read Psalm 119? These are songs, okay? By the time we got to the 100th psalm, we've already heard every bit of this 100 times over, okay? If I came in one Sunday, Brother Matt's going to be out of town, I said, you know what, we're going to sing 150 hymns this week. A lot of y'all probably wouldn't come, all right? But by the time we got to the 100th hymn, you've already heard everything you need to hear about Jesus, right? When you get to Psalm 119, there's 176 repeats of the same thing. Don't tell me about singing a song over and over, singing a 7-11 song, okay? If it's worth saying about Jesus, it's worth saying 100 times, 176 times. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to shout joyfully during that time, you do it. If I need to brush my resume up, I will. That's fine. Y'all can fire me. Been here for 5 months, church. It's good to see smiling faces. It really is. But if I can tell you anything about me as a worship pastor, it's this. I don't care about music. I care about bringing praise to the one who created all of us. Whatever it takes. If it takes us singing the Heavenly Highway hymns, break them out, brother. You got the bass part on There's Room for Just Two on Jericho Road. We'll do it next week. Whatever it takes to bring praise to Jesus, I am willing to do so. My question for you today is this. Are you? Do you shout joyfully? Do you serve the Lord with gladness? Do you know that, acknowledge that God is the Lord? Do you enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise? Do you know that he is good and his faithfulness will extend to all generations? Do you know this psalm, this song? Is it in your heart? I hope it is. I'm going to ask Miss Kathy. I didn't prepare this beforehand. We're going to sing Glorify Thy Name one more time. These three verses of this song. Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Jesus, Spirit. If you can't sing, when you're lying, because it says to do it anyways, sing with your heart. There are times, you can ask my wife, there are times when I cannot utter a word. Nothing comes out of my mouth, but my heart is praising Jesus. I can shout for joy. This is not tears of sadness. These are tears of joy because I'm overwhelmed that a knucklehead from Maplesville, Alabama, that God could use me to do anything. And I'm thankful for it. Let's pray. God, I want to stop again and just thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege, the honor that it is to be able to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would help me always to remember from where I've come, Lord, that I am no better than David. I am no better than Saul. When he said, who are you, Lord? And you converted him and changed him into the person that you would use, that you had already created, that you would use to change the world. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go about our lives to do exactly that. God, to shout joyfully, to sing praise all the time, to acknowledge you in our lives, to just come before you with thanksgiving. And Lord, we pass along to all the generations below us. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for what you've already done, what you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen.